time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Chuck.
Well, I love it. If you don't have hell fever, what about listening to Anthony Davis here? Because I love the fact that he was letting everybody know, if you doubted the Pels and you didn't think that New Orleans was going to be able to make a little bit of a run here, or at least make you feel pretty proud to have an NBA basketball team, you haven't been watching the first two games.
It doesn't matter about anybody else but the guys in the locker room. You know, like I said before, we love being the underdogs. They want to sleep on us, let them sleep. You know, we're going to find a way to get it done, and we're showing it right now in the playoffs, up 2-0.
Pels are up 2-0, winning two on the road against the Portland Trail Blazers. They are a story this season in the NBA playoffs. We have plenty to get into from the game last night, 111-102 the final. We'll also touch on the other games in the NBA playoffs from not only last night, but also on the games coming up tonight as well. College baseball had some action last night. You got a big one in Uptown New Orleans today. LSU and Tulane. Chris Blair will join us at 12:30. Scott Kushner, 1:15. Bryant Johnson, 1:45, as the Colonels take to the diamond as well. Todd Graffanini gives us the Tulane side of things at 2:05 and at 2:15. Dino and I will go over the rest of the NBA storylines. There's some interesting things going on in the other series as well. But yes, plenty on the Pels and Blazers. First, welcome to Midway Point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more than what the Camel Wednesday hump day really is.
There it is. Scott G, the Digital Underground, the Camel, head coach Sean Payton. We will hear from him, Pepito, 8 days from now. 8 days from now, your NFL draft round one. We'll have coverage of round one live at Dave and Buster's. Join us. We'll kick things off at 6 o'clock. Some words of wisdom for you. Absolutely. 800-998-1003 is the number to get involved. We have plenty of questions of the day we've thrown out there on Twitter as well, at ESPN Radio NOLA. Follow us on Facebook. And don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can always go to our SoundCloud page, iTunes, Google Play, to find ways to have a little fun with us as well and catch any of the interviews we have as well. So there is your guest list. We're going to get a little college baseball mixed in with some NBA playoffs. We'll get you posted on anything, of course, that's going on in the world in the NFL. But I'm telling you, it is a story all over the place right now what the Pels did. I absolutely enjoyed not only the game, obviously, which was nerve-wracking, to say the least, but I absolutely enjoyed seeing the reaction during the game on social media. People were locked in, and it's not just the local folks, right? The people in TV, the people in radio, print, what have you, and fans. But, dude, so nice to see the national folks, especially at the end of the game. And it's crazy. I played that bite from AD saying, if they want to sleep on us, let them. Trust me when I tell you, they know. They know. Remember I said last week, six people that cover the NBA for CBSSports.com all picked Portland. ESPN, 22 different analysts or people that write and cover the league or people that were asked to make picks. 22 of them on behalf of ESPN and all 22 pick the Trailblazers. Again, I don't blame them. I hear you. There's no DeMarcus Cousins. I don't blame you. I hear you. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, best backcourt in the NBA. I hear you. I don't blame you. Anthony Davis. Can he really be that type of... I get it. I get all of that. I do. Because that's what the national folks sort of see. In the last month and a half, we've seen here at home, though, a basketball team that has absolutely, at the very least, earned your right to care. They play hard. They went on the road. They went at home when they don't have a sellout crowd to kind of spur them with the energy. And they bounce back when they get kicked and put down for a bit. Losing 4 or 5, right? 4 straight after the 10-game win streak to come back and close out on a 5-game win streak. They've now won 7 straight, 2 in the postseason, going up to the Moda Center, which is insane. It's loud. It's one of the loudest places in the NBA. But what did I tell you going into this series? Last week, remember? I said the Saturday before the series started, I said, hey, they went to Oracle and got a Warriors team that isn't at full strength. No Steph Curry, I get it. Very good team. And took a good shot. Durant's burying threes back and forth day one. And what have you seen last month and a half or so after Boogie Cousins and that 10-game win streak? They're starting to not earn your right to care, but they're earning your right to trust. If you missed the game, you went to sleep, you don't care, that's fine. But the game was so back and forth, and it was tight, and there were key moments of the game which we'll get into. And again, I want to hear from you Pels fans, 800-998-1003. Give me your takes. If you just want to talk, if you just want to chat, if you just want to be happy, dude, do it. This is your shot. Right here. We got it open for you. But in that game, they start out well, and you sit there and you're watching, and you're like, all right, I like what I see. 25-23, first quarter, Pels win it. You're high-fiving, you're applauding. It's exactly what you wanted the Pels to do in that first quarter. Jrue Holiday, I believe he had, what, 12 points in that first? And it was what we said on the show yesterday. Expect Portland to drive to the basket. You heard it from their guards at the end of game one. They were going to be aggressive. They were going to drive, right? They knew it. Well, there it was. 18 of the 23 first quarter points for Portland in the paint. Pels were getting killed in the paint. The pick and roll, the driving to the basket. They were doing a great job because they struggled shooting, Portland did. And they said, hey, the easiest way is the high percentage shots in the paint. Pels couldn't stop it. You also saw, though, in the first quarter, Jrue Holiday is unstoppable. There is nothing Portland can do man-to-man on Jrue Holiday. I'm going to play here in a little bit next segment when we go into the locker room. You can hear from the players. Damian Lillard on Jrue. He says, hey, we're going to have to throw different guys at him. 2 guys, 3 guys, make it harder for him. Jrue Holiday can get to the paint whenever he wants. That shot, that play is there all game. And he took it. A career playoff high for Jrue Holiday, 33 points. And I'll get to the big plays here in a sec. But in that first quarter, 25-23, everything you wanted. And then, second quarter. Kind of started by resting AD a little bit, and then it got away a bit. A 36-29 Blazers quarter, gave them the halftime lead, a play that probably didn't seem big, but yeah, you wanted to at least be within single digits at halftime. But Jrue Holiday hitting that three right before the buzzer. You guys remember that? Right before the buzzer, knocks down that three, makes it a 5-point game instead of 8. It may not seem like a lot, but you come out, you hit a bucket or two, you're right there. Big play. Third quarter, it's been a dreadful quarter for the Pels. I would say almost two-thirds of the season until they got it together. But you remember, right? The dreaded third quarter. Remember the stretch of the season where we're like, I don't know. I mean, what did they do? Did they act like the third quarter is the second quarter, the first? Did they not even go to halftime? I mean, we were trying to think of ways to get them to wake up, to play better, to realize were they resting too long? Their third quarter was not good for most of the season. They figured it out, though. It became a strength. Last night, they won the third quarter, folks, 33-19. Moda Center's going, yeah, tying up this series, baby. Third quarter, crickets. And in the fourth, each team scored 24 points, even Stevens. But in that game, in that fourth, here come the Trailblazers. Here they come. It's kind of like in game one, but just overall, here they come. Sean Kelly, John DeShazer, you heard it here on ESPN New Orleans, Pelicans Radio Network.
Bring it up. Goes around to Zach Collins' screen. Into the paint. Gets past Mirotić. Laying it up. No. And a rebound for Amino, though, is in there for another second-chance bucket. And that ties the game at 97. Timeout Pelicans.
So Pelicans, again, not doing a good enough job on the defensive last time. Nico Mirotić does a fantastic job of the challenge, but you've got to finish and clean up the possession defensively.
Rondo, bounce pass sideline left to Holiday. Works around an elbow screen by Davis. Crossover dribble. Takes Aminu down the paint. Turns into a right hook and scores. That's 27 for Drew Holiday.
That is filthy. That's filthy and filthy.
Lillard, fending off a defender. Throws corner right. Harkless for three. Off the rim four times and it's scored for Maurice Harkless. 199 Trailblazers.
Harkless hadn't paid a whole lot, but when he's played, he's been effective. Made all five of his shots.
Pelicans lead by two. Holiday yet to move. Now starts walking the dribble towards Zach Collins. Steps into a three. Bang! Got it! Drew Holiday!
That's a little too much
30
sauce.
Points.
That's a little too much sauce.
Holiday between the rings. Jump pass to his left. Moore dumps the corner left. Rondo wide open three. Pow! Right in the kisser. And the Pelicans may have just knocked down the dagger with Rajon Rondo hitting the corner three to make it 108-100. Timeout Portland with 38.9 seconds to go.
Rajon Rondo coming in hot. Held 11-3 run. And if you're Rondo and if you're Portland, Rondo's the guy you want to take that shot. That's where your percentages lie. But this is playoff Rondo. This ain't regular season Rondo, and he's ready for that.
Lillard, long three straight away. Off the rim, no good. Rebounded by Anthony Davis. And with 7 seconds remaining, he'll send it to Rondo, who advances it past half court, and that's a winner. The Pelicans have taken the first two in this series, doing it on the road at the Moda Center in Portland. Tonight's final score, New Orleans 111, Portland 102.
Well, the theme was, let's be greedy, and they were greedy.
Indeed. And when we come back, you'll hear from Rajon Rondo, Drew Holiday. My goodness, the game that he had, the two hustle plays that stood out to me. It's a question that we threw out there at ESPN Radio NOLA. What has stood out to you in the two wins on the road? To me, it's the extra effort and hustle you're getting. And I'll expand on that here when we come out of the break, because there were two plays in each game at the end that sealed the game and won it, and it had nothing to do with a shot. It was on the back end of hustle first. Then the shots went down. But it's amazing to watch. It really honestly is. 800-998-1003. Want to hear from you, Pels fans. What do you think so far? Do you have Pels fever? You're kind of excited. Are you going to either games 3 or 4? I've tweeted that out as well. Love to hear from you if you're going. Don't forget, Hour 1 is brought to you by The King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring The King at 504-909-KING. You can go online and check out and get all the info you want at your leisure. KingInjuryFirm.com. And don't forget, this hour we will give you a chance to win a pair of Jazz Fest tickets. Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, coming up bottom of the hour up next. You'll hear from the guys in the game. Pels up 2-0, baby. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Tonight.
Oh, for sure. Playoff Drew, I guess. You know, he's in a different mode. The whole team's in a different mode. No one's panicking when we're down. No one's getting too excited when we're up. You know, we stay in an even keel and just playing for each other and playing together. Once again, we got a lot to work on, but it's always good when we can come out with a win.
No doubt. 800-998-1003. Pepito coming up this hour. There's only two segments left. But coming up this hour, you will hear the following stinger.
Wake up, baby. I think I got something to say to you.
And when you hear that, that, then it's time to call 800-998-1003.
Not now.
But you're going to hear that
That's
coming up this hour.
Yes.
And when you hear that, then it's time for your chance to win a pair of Jazz Fest tickets. If you don't win today, we'll do the same thing tomorrow, and we'll do the same thing on Friday. So two pairs left after today. Wednesday's pairs coming up within the next hour. Jimmy, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. What you got, man?
Hey, Gus, what's going on?
Not much.
Hey, real quick, yeah, man, it's great to be a Pelicans fan right now. I stayed up late last night to watch that end. Drew's really coming into his own there. I saw this morning Gail Benson kind of, you know, was basically saying, look, we want to get the arena rowdy. I really like that. You know, I know, rest in peace, Tom Benson, but that's what I wanted to see from Gail Benson taking over the reins of things. Her saying things like calling out the fans, calling out the city, saying, let's go get behind this team. Let's make it rowdy. And I heard they have 2,000 seats still available for sale for tomorrow night. I think Saturday's almost sold out, but game three tomorrow night is you know, so look, the city's got to step up. I'm going to be there. I think that's a critical situation there. But some people were talking about Gentry being the NBA coach of the year. I know a couple weeks ago, I mean, I was kind of like on the fence about him. But what's your take on that? And you know, is this more a result of the roster? Mm-hmm. And, you know, more so what Demps has done, I give him a lot of credit. And are we better without Boogie? I mean, you know, so that's really what I called up about. And at this point, this team's moving so quickly. I mean, Boogie, what would he do? He'd go down there and shoot a three-pointer. He's a freak of nature talent, Gus. Right. Freak of nature. 5 seconds into the shot clock, or he bounced it off his knee. All four other guys on the court would stop what they're doing just to watch what he's doing because he's such a freak of nature. He's a 7 foot center, whatever, shooting three pointers.
Yeah.
He's a great player, but are we better off without him? Miritich is just playing lights out, and Davis is allowed to be Davis. So look, pack the arena, and Gail called us all out, including you journalists, Gus, to be there tomorrow night. We got to pack it out. We can't have empty seats at a playoff game. Come on.
Dude, I'm with you. Here's Drew Holiday on that point, and then I'll answer the rest of your questions.
Oh, I'm excited. I feel like we all know the type of crowd in New Orleans, how they are, especially like you said that last time we came back 0-2, and now that we're up 0-2, I feel like it's just going to be crazy. It's going to be loud. We're going to have to communicate even better now that it's going to be so loud in our arena.
Here's the thing. I love the fact that Gail Benson has kind of been like that. And you saw pictures of her at the shoot-around, and she was in a Pelicans hoodie. She's in a team-issued hoodie with, like, some sweatpants, a yoga pants, whatever, just sitting on the bench watching shoot-around yesterday. She said after that San Antonio win, in the video that was on Pelicans.com, it showed Alvin Gentry, you know, thanking the team and everything, and he's like, hey, you going to go? And she goes, I'm going to all the games. We're going to every game. So she's traveling with the team and going to all those games. Again, health was a main reason Tom Benson didn't do that. But to Jimmy's point there, if you're a Pels fan, do you like seeing your owner coming out there and saying, go ahead and out there and doing it? And look, again, and then about, hey, get the extra 2,000 seats in there so you can get more. It's not that what this is. This is making it as loud as it is everywhere else in the NBA in these playoffs. I do honestly expect the tickets to be sold tomorrow. Saturday, a 4 p.m. game. Not surprised. It's almost sold out. If what they did last night doesn't get you to go in there, then you're just not a fan or you're not going. Or you can't go. Like, that's fine. At the very least, as I said yesterday, then last night, you watch. You pay attention and you support in that way. But I do think seeing Gail Benson being out there, being vocal, it's going to be something you're going to see with the Saints and definitely, obviously, right now with the Pelicans. Quickly to the other points, then we'll get to Corey. Is Boogie worth it? Look, it doesn't matter what we think or if the team's better or not. The amount of attention that you've seen him be a part of it, they want him to be a part of the playoffs as well, that tells you they want him to be a part of this team. I think he could sort of make that work. I'm going to touch on a lot more on Miritich here in a second, Jimmy, because that move was magnificent. And that move paid off so much so that you heard Sean Kelly last week. He stopped short of calling it saving the season. I'm not, because What he does on both ends of the court, my goodness, without him, they're not in the playoffs. And they don't win both of those games. Yes, Drew and Rondo, key components, AD as well. But Mirotić, dude, he is huge in that and what they were able to do. Darius Miller hit a huge three yesterday. Ian Clark, huge three. So some of those moves that Dale Demps made, paying off for sure. Corey, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. You want to chime in? 800-998-1003. What you got?
Hey, I got. How you doing, Gus?
Good, man.
First of all, I think I have no doubt in my mind that arena gonna be packed tomorrow night. I just think that, you know, when you have a winning product on the court, I mean, fans gonna flock that. I mean, you know, if you win it, they're gonna come out. So that's no doubt in my mind. That's pretty much gonna take care of its own self. On the national, I guess, radio, I heard PJ Carlissimo pretty much. And it sounds like to me that they're surprised that New Orleans doing what they're doing. And I understand that there is a dog coming into the series. I mean, you look at all the ESPNs and, you know, any other network that you have, they have pretty much Portland winning. Mm-hmm. But you got to, you know, like I said, a lot of people looking at Drew like, oh, man, Drew just missed L.A. The thing is about it, we've been seeing it, Gus. He's just on the national stage. Like Alvin Gentry say, you know, it's not a surprise to us. Mm-hmm. It's a surprise to y'all because, I mean, this is what he's been doing pretty much the whole, I think, 82 games that he played this year. Yeah, 81, if I'm not mistaken.
He missed one due to the flu.
Right. And so that's pretty much to us, man. We've been saying Drew here. I mean, it's a gutty win, Gus. It was a gutty win last there night to go into that environment and just to pretty much to take it to him. I called the show, I think, the last couple of days, and I said, man, Pels in six. Since they're being green, I'm being green. I say, Pels in a sweep. Bring out the brunt. I mean, it's time for them to get rid of him, man. And I'm looking, like I said, we don't know how far this season is going to go, but I would love to see Holiday match up against Steph Curry. Because remember that year that we went to the playoffs, they swept us. We didn't have no Drew Holiday. So it's interesting to see if everything pretty much falls in place to see how that matchup is going to go. But I'm excited about the idea. I'm excited about tomorrow. And, man, let's just flop up and just get rid of Portland. Because, I mean, they want to see Portland beat us. But guess what? Those guys pretty much playing hard. I appreciate that.
I tell you what, Corey, thank you for the phone call. I love it. He's being greedy. He not only wants the sweep, man. He's talking about bring on Steph Curry and the Warriors. Let's take care of business first. First, though, again, Alvin Gentry on the lack of respect for Drew Holiday. He had his to say.
I don't understand because he's done it the whole season. This is not something, you know, that has happened over the last, you know, 10, 12 games. He's done it for the entire season where we ask him to guard the best perimeter player, and we ask him to do it while we also want him to get 20 points for us every night out. So it's really tough. And, you know, I think what he just locks in. I mean, you know, we ask him to guard, you know, both those guys. You know, if one heat up a little bit, then we put him on that particular guy, and he's answered the bell every time. So, as I said, I just thought that he started the game tonight really getting the ball and driving it to the basket and was able to, you know, to score some easy hoops, driving it to the basket. And then, you know, they begin to switch, and we like the mismatch that he had when they switched the things, and I thought he just came through for us.
Absolutely. The big three late after he hustled and out-rebounded or out-hustled three Portland players to get that rebound. The possession later, Drew Holiday, Rajon Rondo, doing the same, hustling that ball in the corner to keep the possession alive, and then he knocks down a three. It's just two big, big hustle plays there, sealed the game and pushed it to 6 to 8 point lead with so much time, with little time left, rather. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm Personal Injury Maritime Offshore Mass Tort Workers Comp. That is what the King Injury Firm specializes in. Ring the King so you don't have to play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 909-KING. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers, is up next on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. College baseball in Uptown New Orleans featuring the 18th-ranked LSU Fighting Tigers, 24-13 on the year at Tulane. 16-21, joining us for a little bit this afternoon to preview the matchup, the voice of the LSU Tigers, at LSU Tigers Voice. So to follow Chris Blair over on Twitter. How are you, Chris? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, man. Doing well. Getting ready to head near you.
One of the things that obviously I think that stands out when you look at LSU right now, midway point essentially of what the SEC season two, as well as you're 9-6 there, but it's just health. Health has been kind of a storyline this season for the Tigers, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really started the first weekend. I mean, you lose Josh Smith, and you know, talking to Coach Maneri, he'll point to it started back in Omaha last year. That was when they found out Eric Walker would, you know, be unable to go all of this year. So they started out with all three of their starting rotations from last year gone. Then you get Josh Smith out. Then you lose Brant Broussard. You've had Bryce Jordan. Of course, you had to work to get A.J. Labus, and still yet to get Nick Storrs back. You know, you had Zach Watson out for a period of time. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of plug and play for this coaching staff, and I think that I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that's what stands out about what they've done up to this point.
I was going to say, Chris, TigerRag.com had an interesting piece, and just the headline, I guess, is something that stood out to me. Tigers been able to keep their heads above water, kind of rebuilding their roster, their staff, and just kind of to where that health kind of starts to come together, as well as guys start to find their place on their roster. You kind of have that sense and feel that we obviously have yet to see the best baseball the Tigers can play yet.
Yeah, I think it's a great headline because that's kind of been the mantra for the clubhouse for quite several weeks, and that is, you know, we're plugging guys in. We've recruited everybody that plays at LSU that has any type of scholarship was recruited because we knew you had the tools. You know, certain guys will play when they're freshmen. Certain guys will kind of mature into those roles. But everybody's got talent. And, you know, it's one of those deals where if a guy goes down, you got to come out and hold your end of the rope. And I think Hal Hughes has done an excellent job in place of Josh Smith. And I don't know what else you can say and what other adjectives you can use about Austin Bain, who's done just about everything for LSU at the plate, on the mound, at second base. But just keeping their head above water in hope that they would get back to full strength about this time, maybe in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, that would be the hope. It's almost as if, as I've compared it to, picking up a couple of, you know, strong players on the free agency line midway through the year, which obviously can't do in college. But it's kind of what it would be if you get all these guys the type of experience, the fill-in roles, and then you get some guys back that you know what they can do for you. Makes this team one of the more deep in the SEC and a pretty good deep conference. So the fact they're one game out in the SEC West, and the fact they've done it without their starting middle infield and without two of their biggest hitters and contributors at the plate is something to really remark about when you take a look at the job this coaching staff has done.
Speaking with Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, at LSU Tigers Voice, the way to follow him over on Twitter. You mentioned one of those big bats in that middle infield coming back today, Brant Broussard. How big is his return?
Well, he just changes, you know, so many things. That, you know, obviously he's such a great second baseman. You know, I don't know what they're doing over at Delgado other than one of the best junior college coaches in the country. But, you know, you replace a guy like Cole Freeman with a guy like Brant Broussard, and it was seamless. And, you know, you also miss the fact that he was the leading hitter on the team when he went out with the injury at Vanderbilt. He also was the leading hitter with runners in scoring position, and he was the leading base dealer. You know, he's just the guy that can put a lot of pressure, not only on pitchers, but the defense in general. So to get him back is going to be key. I hope, you know, again, how close he is to 100% before the injury, we'll have to wait and see. But I still believe that getting him back at this time in the midweek against Tulane, against the good, I think, improving Tulane team over the last couple of weeks, is a good thing for him, considering they desperately need him when they go to South Carolina this weekend, and they'll need him again next week when they go on the road to Oxford to take on Ole Miss.
All right, so that's some of the good injury news, but of course it would be LSU for when we talk about some of the issues with injuries as well, and Caleb and Hunter, not going to see them this week, especially not today.
Yeah, I think Caleb Gilbert is a big loss. I mean, obviously Hunter Peduzzi, your day-to-day starter behind the plate, is huge. But I think also because of, you know, trying to find that Sunday starter for the weekend, which has been a trouble spot for LSU this year, the other problem you have now is that Caleb Gilbert, who pitched, I thought, marvelously in relief of Mikhail Hilliard I mean, you know Caleb's got good stuff. You know, mm-hmm. is he a Sunday starter in the SEC? I think he has the potential to be. It just didn't work out. But it doesn't say he's not a great pitcher. And, you know, he struck out six the other day in that game two against Tennessee. And, you know, I thought pitched very well. So, you know, it comes into a matchup like tonight where you're going to start A.J. Labus, who got, you know, some good innings against Tulane in the first meeting on March 21st. But you're going to really have to ask A.J. to go out there and go deep into a ball game. So it's, you know, he's done five, he's done six. But you may need more than that because you've got to keep your arms ready to go this weekend in the SEC. So I think the fact that Caleb Gilbert's going to be out for some extended time is really a huge blow for a pitching staff that, you know, for the most part out of the bullpen has pitched very well this year. But the last thing you want to do down the back half of the SEC is be without some of those guys.
Chris, so I guess we go into tonight's game along those lines. You're mentioning how maybe Paul Maneri may use the pitching staff or lack thereof as perhaps to a what he used to, right? Or most of the times during midweek games, just kind of throw out as many as possible. Maybe you do that, obviously, knowing that you have these series coming up. But in that 10-4 first meeting between these two teams, that's something you can kind of take away from it because Tulane's coming in having 1-2 conference series, and they know the importance of getting wins right now below 500. And Coach Maneri yesterday saying, hey, look, they got to start winning. The Tigers do on the road.
Yeah, I think that's why these injuries, these new injuries, I should say, come at a bad time because, you know, he's made a point that, you know, they have all of their goals still in front of them. Beyond the halfway point, everything is still possible. But midweek games are huge at this point. They've got to get every one of them they can possibly get. And now you come in that first meeting on the 21st, you know, you started Nick Storrs, who pitched an inning, his only inning pitch this year, to see how he would do. As it turned out, he came away from that game with more arm soreness. So, you know, that was a tough thing. But by design, they were going to give him one inning, and then they were going to give A.J. Labus, who still wasn't at that time back to 100%, give him some time. He went a couple of innings. But that was a different kind of ball game. I think now not only are you looking at the importance of winning the midweek games like tonight, but you also understand to keep pace in the SEC, you've got to win series. And as it turns out, the South Carolina one on paper is winnable. Not to say they can easily go in there and win the series or sweep the Gamecocks at home. That's not easy. But it is possible. And it's certainly on paper a more doable thing than, say, going to Ole Miss or when you take on Arkansas or even down the road taking on Auburn. So that's why it's going to be interesting to see how they handle the pitchers tonight. Monday night on his radio show, and he told me, hey, A.J. Labus is going to need to go out there and give us six, maybe seven innings, and then they can maybe use two other guys to try to finish it out. I don't think that's going to change. I think that's what we'll see, unless A.J. gets into trouble early, because, as you said, both these teams need wins, and they're not going to just give one away.
Well, you have a packed house, obviously, at Griffield Church and Stadium. It's always fun with these two teams play a little baseball, a little extra something for the fans on the line. Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, at LSU Tigers Voice. It's a way to follow him on Twitter. You can catch his call on the LSU Sports Radio Network. Thank you for your time, and enjoy the drive down here, and we'll see you in a little bit.
Thank you, my man. And, again, looking forward to it. Always a great atmosphere over there when these two teams get together, people on the roofs, people in the seats, and, you know, a lot of pride on the line. So I'm looking forward to it again. Thanks for having me.
Indeed, that is for sure. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it so much, man. All right, Pepito, guess what? It is time to, you know, I don't know. Wake up, baby, and there you have it. If you want to go to Jazz Fest, it's probably right about now that you should be calling 800-998-1003.
I have to apologize.
What's that?
The only band I didn't include in that little montage there was Gus and the Pit Stains.
Okay, again, that is...
I forgot if that was your band name the other day.
It's not my band
that's
name.
That's the one you have now.
No, not at all. So anyway, we'll have a little fun. Give us a buzz if you want to go. 800-998-1003. When we come back, we'll... Welcome back, 800-998-1003. We have a winner for Jazz Fest tickets. If you didn't win, Christian. Nice. Christian from New Orleans got the tickets. Congratulations. We'll have another pair tomorrow, Jason, and another pair on Friday. So one pair each of the days that remain in the week. You want to pick an hour? Pick an hour for tomorrow?
Oh, for tomorrow?
Yeah, for tomorrow.
A pre-tease.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It. Mm-hmm. Let's go 2 o'clock hour tomorrow.
2 o'clock hour?
2 o'clock hour.
Okay, I'm going to make you wait a little bit.
A little bit.
All right, we'll do that. So 2 o'clock hour tomorrow, we'll have the next chance to win. Easy enough. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in on the Pels win over the Blazers. Got a couple of phone calls already on it. What are the things that stood out to you on it? I know we threw it out there on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA and at GCATS_17. To me, it's the hustle, right? I said poise after game one was my one word. I guess I probably should have said that, right? Describe the win in one word or something, or give me your headline. That's always fun. And I think one of the things that was interesting to me was seeing poise and that being a reason they won in game one, but also game two to me was hustle. So in game one, you had 2 rebounds, 2 free throws that sealed game one. If you remember, Anthony Davis getting 2 rebounds and able to knock down 2 sets of free throws in order to seal that game. In game two, right, Etuan Moore, free throw line, misses free throws, gets the putback, misses that. Somehow Drew Holiday comes up with the rebound. That eventually leads him to a 3-point basket. Then Rajon Rondo goes and hustles a ball in the left corner. Leads to another 3-pointer. 2 hustle rebounds or hustle on loose balls that lead to 6 points and turn a tied game to a 8-point or 6-point to 8-point lead in seconds, inside of a minute. I mean, it's just, that's clutch. It's huge. So many people stepping up in that situation. That's something that really stood out to me. That was impressive. Lee on Twitter says the thing that stood out to him was defense. Now, David, somewhat of a believer on this team, he says, beat Golden State and then I will be impressed. So there you go, Jason. All you got to do is just beat the team that a lot of people have winning the NBA Finals, or at least going. Lee also says, the level of intensity has surprised me. The defensive prowess is impressive. Raised effort to playoff level. John on Twitter, the defense for sure, and he is going to games 3 and 4. Ken says he's going to game 4. I asked on Twitter if you're going to either game 3 or 4. And if you're not, I get it. That's fine. You're at least going to watch, right? Maybe a watch party, maybe go to a place to have a beverage and watch the game, little eats, little something. If you don't go to the arena.
Yeah, somewhere nearby. We're going to be at one of those places for the NFL draft.
That's right. Dave and Buster's will be there.
So the toss, so the little toss I gave you.
Occasionally you do actually do your job.
Really nice of you. I've been in this game for a while. Yeah, it's my first rodeo. Some others might think differently.
Well, it's a wild rodeo. I call you rodeo clown maybe sometimes.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, but you're still in the rodeo.
Still in a rodeo. Clown. You in a rodeo, you wouldn't last a second.
What are you talking about?
On a bull.
What is it, 7 seconds? Aren't you trying to get to, or 8 seconds?
No, what was the George Strait song?
Yeah, it was a movie.
The movie.
Yeah, I think 7 seconds.
8 seconds.
8 seconds?
I don't know.
I'm good for 5.5.
Oh, no.
You don't think so?
Half a second.
No.
I don't even think you would get on a bull.
No, I would.
I wouldn't.
Especially if you were the payaso right there.
Payaso.
Yeah. If you're the clown.
Oh, it's still
the
be a payaso. You get to wear the ugly boots.
Yeah.
Those weird boots.
Those payasos are pretty important, by the
they're
way.
They're awesome, man. I like a payaso.
They actually save you. they're there to save you.
Oh, they're there, yeah.
Yeah.
You could be a payaso.
I'm not even going there.
The two payasos.
I see? Yeah, I knew it.
Goose and Jason.
Here's the most interesting aspect of the win last night. Jason, did you realize the stat of stats? Do you know there's a stat of stats?
I didn't know there was a stat of stats.
Stat of stats. 16 minutes, 29 seconds Do you know what that's in reference to?
How long I can ride a bull.
Like if I say 28-3, you know what that means, right?
Oh, well, of course.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Right. 16-29. That's how long Anthony Davis didn't score. The final 16-29 of the game. How many minutes did a quarter, Jason, in basketball?
15-12.
15 football. You were close. In the same ballpark. It's 12. He went scoreless in the fourth quarter. Think about that. He went scoreless in the fourth quarter. Pels win by 9. That's what Jerry says impresses him. The fact that Davis didn't score in the final 6:29, Pels win by 9, it's got to be demoralizing for Portland. And he says, let's go, Pels. CM Robb, most impressed with the defensive effort as a team in sustaining the Blazers' runs. Steph, defense, making clutch shots. Let's hear from more of the players in the locker room when we come back. Scott Kushner, still ahead. Brian Johnson, Ty Graffanini, and Dino. It's the Sports Hangover, Hour 1, brought to you by the King Firm on ESPN New Orleans.